Hello and welcome. It's Tuesday, January 29th, 2013. My name is Debbie Quain. You're listening to episode 333 of Confetti, the wedding planning business talk show. Thank you for joining me. If you're listening live, welcome. If you're listening to the recording, welcome too. You can join the live chat room if you're listening live at confettilive.com. And if you would prefer to listen on the telephone, I actually have a number that I've got. I gave out the wrong number. I keep changing these numbers. So the number to call if you want to listen via telephone is 213-992-4358. Okay, I'm going to have to put that in the show notes. I gave out a 202 number last week, and that still applies, but we're going to have to change that. If you'd like to get live show schedules, information, and downloadable replays of this show, the replays are just the audio, not the video. Go to confettiradio.com. Are you folks not hearing me in the chat room? Here we go. Let me just put a note here. Okay, it looks like. Okay. Someone asked a question, did the show start? And it always makes me worry that the stream is not going out great. Okay, thank you, Bianca. Bianca says she can hear and see me. Wonderful. Sorry, we got a little bit choppy there. If you are new to listening to the show, a very special welcome to you. We do the show live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, God willing, right? Every now and then there's a slight tweak, a slight change to that, but I try to keep it consistent. If you'd like to get information, articles, free resources, check out weddingsforaliving.com. If you need a little bit more information about, okay, so Weddings for Living, gosh, I'm not flowing today at all. Weddings for Living really provides information about being a great wedding planner. If you think you'd like to make the move to running a wedding planning business, if you'd like a little bit more guidance, then Wedding Business Guide may be the resource for you. So you can check that out. Weddingsforaliving.com is a free site. Wedding Business Guide has information which is more comprehensive, downloadable forms, audio tutorials, video tutorials, and that's a membership site. So check that out at your leisure or at your leisure, depending on where you are in the world. I've got a very short show for you today. Say that a couple times. A very short show. Because I actually have an appointment right afterwards, so I've got to dash. But that doesn't mean we're not going to have good information, because we always get good information on the show, and it's not just based on what I present, but the feedback that those of you who are participating live present. It's invaluable. So if you, I notice we've got some new folks here. I think the person that seems to be new, that I recognize as new, is Chandani. And I think you're in my neck of the woods, because you said you're in Maryland and I'm in Washington, D.C., so you're close. Short but sweet. Yes, Laurie, short but sweet. Laurie's saying that in the chat. And let's just do a quick shout out. Athena, Bianca, Precious, Laurie Lockwood. Hi, Laurie. L'Oreal, Kamara, A. Wheatley, Shindani, as I said, someone with the initials SWA, and then a guest. And another viewer. So you can log in as a guest, or I think you can use your Facebook or your Twitter handle. Speaking of which, you know, you can post your URLs in the chat room however you would like people to reach out to you. So, you know, your Facebook URL, your website, your Pinterest, your Twitter handle, so that you can make connections with one another. Okay. Also, if you would like to be a part of our Facebook group, you're welcome to join. Bianca's the resident know-it-all with the URLs. It's facebook.com/groups/confetti insiders. Yeah, confetti insiders with a plural. So if you go over onto that site, you can become part of the group, but someone's just got to approve you. It's not really, I was going to say it's not that serious, but the reason we did it that way so that, you know, all of the information that we exchange is just not all over the place. It's just all contained within the group. So please feel free to do that at, you know, whenever you feel like it. Okay, so today what's going to happen, I hope the sound, my mixer says the sound is clipping. I hope I'm not too loud and hazy and fuzzy. I noticed when I listened to the replay on the live stream that the audio was not perfect. And I apologize for that. I think I'm going to try something a little different next week. But I do record each show locally. So that means, you know, you get, you know, when you listen to the replay, you can, it should be a clean recording. So today what I want to do is focus on two questions and then we're going to get going. I did want to mention, for Wedding Business Guide members, I did send an email. We do have a live class tomorrow. And that class is all about how to meet with prospects and interview prospects. So people who contact you and email you about your wedding business, we're going to talk about how to respond to those emails and then how to conduct yourself at that meeting. That means they haven't signed the contract with you yet. They're just interested in your services. So we're going to talk about how to conduct that meeting. So Wedding Business Guide members, we have a live class tomorrow. And if you are thinking about being a part of Wedding Business Guide, you're more than welcome to come along. But even if you can't make the live class, the recording is available for members. Okay? Just wanted to mention that. So the two questions that I wanted to touch on, housekeeping stuff. I did want to, I've forgotten now. Dash, can you tell I didn't really prepare for today because I'm kind of all over the place? Never mind. I'm going to move on. Okay, so we have two questions, and I pulled one out of the vault, meaning it was a question that came in at the end of last year, and I missed it. I get a lot of emails, so please forgive me. If you have a burning question and I haven't answered it, you know, you can communicate and write me again and say, Debbie, I didn't hear a response to my question, but please understand that it's difficult for me to reply via personal email. What I will do faster than anything is to ask the question during the show. That way you, the person who asked the question, and a lot of other folks can get the benefit of that response. Okay. Someone's asking for the Facebook group link. Okay. I will do that. I'll add the link. Bianca, I know you know this. Bianca, I'm deferring to you. I'm sorry. See, she's on it. So Bianca posted the link in the chat room. Thank you, Bianca. All right. So this question came from Jessica. Now, you know, I always say, I'm sure I'm saying your name wrong, but I know there's another woman who sings, who's an artist, and her name is spelt like yours, and her last name is pronounced Gaucher. So I don't know if that's the way you say your last name, but this is from Jessica. And she says, I wanted to ask two questions. First question, at most, what is the appropriate length of time for a reception? That's question number one. And then question number two, is it ever appropriate to only serve finger foods at a reception? And then she puts, P.S. Thanks for your show. It's amazing. You're welcome. And thank you. Okay, so what is the appropriate length of for a reception? It really depends, and that's a good question, but it depends on several things. The first thing that's really key is depends on what the venue determines the length can be. Because depending on if they're having another reception that day, you may only be able to have that reception, your clients may only be able to have that reception within that allotted time frame. So they may have the venue set up so that that someone can have a reception early afternoon and then another reception can follow for later on in the evening. So that determines the window of opportunity and also determines the length of time. But a reception can be anywhere from 2 hours to 4 hours. It really, really depends on what your clients want and how many guests are coming and what they, you know, what all the activities are that they want to include. But it really comes down to what the venue says. So most of the weddings that I have planned run within the 3 to 4 hour time frame. And that seems to be average. I don't know what your experience has been, depending on where you are. Feel free to type it in the chat if you have a different experience, but usually that's the time frame. And if you're having it at a private residence or a private mansion or something else, and you know, it may be something completely different. But just remember, you want the wedding reception to be structured. Don't let it be a free-for-all, meaning you know, have, you know, what schedule what's going to happen in your production day timeline, that timeline that specifies what's happening at 3 o'clock, what's happening at 3:30. Specify what's going to happen, you know, the cocktail hour, when the bridal party makes their grand entrance, the first dance, around what time will the first course of the meal be served, around what time are you expecting to cut the cake, how much time are you going to allot for dancing, and so forth. So those are things you have to plan. Sit down with your clients and go through that. Now, they don't have to be involved in the minutiae, which is, okay, we're going to cut the cake at this time. Okay, this is when the DJ's going to. You do that, but you can, you, what you, the wedding planner, do that, but you want to consult with your clients to give them an idea of the flow of things and how they should happen. On Wedding Business Guide, and this is not a plug, I always say that because I don't want you to think I'm doing a hard sell, but there are variations of wedding reception timelines, one for 2 hours, one for 3 hours, one for 4 hours, how you can space things out. But whatever you do, please schedule things to happen at specific times at the wedding reception, even if that really doesn't happen. You know, based, you know, you schedule something to happen at 3:15 and it doesn't happen until 3:20. Oh my gosh. But you want to schedule it. So if you've been to a wedding reception or a wedding where it's just dragging on and on and on and on, that's because someone hasn't taken the time to schedule everything. And then the other part is that you have to make sure that you're sticking to whatever you've been your vendors have contracted to do. So, you know, if the wedding starts running overtime, then that means cha-ching, money is often involved, because if the vendor has scheduled to be there for 3 hours and it's now going into hour four, then someone is likely going to be charging for overtime. And it may even be a situation where they can't even do that. If they've got another gig or another event right after, then that they may just roll out of there. So it's important to get the scheduling down to science. But as always, Jessica, I had to give you the long response, but it varies with regard to wedding reception. Anywhere 2 hours is usually the beginning part for a reception. Anything shorter than that is a little unusual, but doesn't mean it can't be done. The second question that Jessica asked, is it ever appropriate to only serve finger foods at a reception? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It is. It can be appropriate. It's almost like you're having a cocktail reception. And I know those are popular. I have yet to plan a wedding where my client did a cocktail reception, which means only appetizers or that god awful word to spell, hors d'oeuvres. I'll give it, you know, can anyone spell hors d'oeuvres right now in the chat room without looking it up? I dare you. Just type it in. Spell hors d'oeuvres right now without looking it up. If anyone knows, it's just impossible to spell that word correctly. But okay, I digress. So yeah, it's okay. It is appropriate to do that. The key is, and we talked about this a few episodes ago. Oh, Bianca's a show off. I think she got it right. you guys are all spelling hors d'oeuvres. Oh my gosh, you're some smart cookies. You have to let the guests know that it's only going to be appetizers. You have to specify that. And usually that happens in the wedding invitation. So if it's just going to be a cocktail reception, meaning just appetizers, you've got to say so. Because if folks are expecting a full meal and it's not good. So you just have to prepare them. And then it's fine. You also have to be careful, Jessica, with the time of day of that reception. If the reception's happening when it's a typical dinner time, then that's not so great either. So a cocktail reception usually happens before what's known, what would be the dinner time, or after dinner. So when people have already had a chance to either eat before they come, or they know they're going to eat right after they leave, or maybe eat before they come, maybe they have lunch and then you do a cocktail reception. Or if you do a cocktail reception later on after everyone's had dinner. So Those, from what I hear, are wonderful receptions. I don't know if anyone's planned a cocktail reception, but it just sounds very elegant. But don't be misguided, and I'm not saying that you would be, but it's not always as inexpensive as you might think, depending on the headcount. Because, you know, if it's past hors d'oeuvres, there still needs to be a substantial amount so that everybody doesn't feel like they didn't get a chance to eat food. So just be careful with that. So yeah, absolutely. It is appropriate. You just have to give everybody a heads up. Nothing worse than going to an event thinking you're getting food and there isn't food, or thinking you're getting a full meal and it's not. So very good questions, Jessica. Very good questions. And I hope that answers them for you. Okay. Are you folks having trouble with the live stream? Yeah, I don't know. If you refresh is usually how it works. If you just keep refreshing the screen, hopefully not keep. Hopefully you only have to do it the one time. You guys can spell, man. Are you cheating? Because I can't spell hors d'oeuvres unless I look it up. So, you know, H-O-R-S apostrophe space and the D-E. I'm looking at the spelling here. Sorry. As the person SWA is saying, what about heavy hors d'oeuvres? Yeah, you can do heavy hors d'oeuvres. Heavy hors d'oeuvres can sometimes replace the meal, but I would still be, I don't feel comfortable doing a cocktail reception, even if it is heavy hors d'oeuvres, at dinner time. I just don't. So I would think it would have to be right before dinner or right after. I'm not feeling so good about that. Yeah, and Bianca's saying the invitation can state it on cocktail reception to inform the guest as well. Yeah, just be careful with the timing. That's all. Okay? All right. So the next question is from Carrie. Carrie asks, what is your input on showing prices for your services on your website? Also, is it unprofessional to have a booking calendar on your website so clients can book their own appointments? Thank you. Okay, great questions, Carrie. The pricing thing seems to be a dilemma for many of us. But Carrie, you're asking what my input is on showing prices for your service, on what, putting your prices on your website. I was sort of torn between this. And when I first started my wedding business, there were no prices went on my website. But the thing is, someone's having problems with the show. I'm sorry. Okay. You can download it later. I apologize. But the thing with putting prices on your website, I have found is that, well, first of all, as I was saying, if you don't put it on your website, it's sort of like the, what did they say, the 900-pound gorilla. People want to know what your prices are. So although I'm not a fan of listing prices for all of my services, I do like the idea of giving people a ballpark of where my prices begin. So if you have a range of services and your full service planning is $5,000, but you also offer a DIY workshop or something that starts at around the $400 or $500 mark, then I think it's okay to say that, you know, we have a variety of packages, planning packages, or we offer a variety of services with our most basic service beginning at $500. So that gives the person right then and there, they know if it's out of their range or not. Now, the $500 may not be the service that may not be the fee that they had in mind for the service they want, but it lets them know that they can at least approach you if you're within their budget range, because your site can look fabulous and you can have some great pictures and they feel a connection with you. But if someone only has $1,000 to spend and your rates begin at $3,000, you're both wasting each other's time. Although someone may think they only have $1,000 and they may find the additional money for the extra services. But, I think it's just good to, put a price range on there, or beginning price. When you list your prices for every single service, then I think you're now competing on price with everyone else, meaning all the other planners. So then your bride starts looking at your service and saying, oh, she does day of for $900, but this plan is doing day of for $1,400. Well, I just need to talk to the woman who's doing it for $900. But you may be offering completely different levels of service. So now by putting your price on there, you just kind of lost this bride who just assumes that you're just charging way more than you should be. But once a bride buys into you, and what we do is we provide such a personal service that people do have to buy into you. Once they buy into you, then your price doesn't sound so crazy as it might do for someone they don't click with. But when you start listing prices on you for every service, you know, package A is this, package B is this, package C is that, then your brides are just price comparing, you know, are shopping based on price. And I don't want to work with a bride who's just, budget's important, but if you're price shopping, then I'm going to sound a little full of myself. I don't want to work with that kind of bride, because I believe my service, the level of service that I provide, is superior. There, I said it. So when someone understands what it is, all the things that I'm going to do, then my price is justified. I hope so, at least. And if it isn't, then there are probably some other planners that I can refer them to. So that's my feeling about price. So I don't know, you may be doing it a little differently, or your thoughts may be different, but that's how I feel. And if you are comparing yourself with other planners based on what they're charging, it will always be about price, and it will all, you know, and that's all you'll ever get. And I think you, as you develop and grow and become a better wedding planner, you should be charging more. You should be charging more as you develop a staff and you have your processes and so forth. So that's my input about prices on your website. The next part of Carrie's question asks, is it unprofessional to have a booking calendar on your website so clients can book their own appointments? That's a great question. I've seen that, and I've never thought of doing that personally. I'm curious to see if anyone else is doing that. I have heard that by putting the booking calendar, or putting in a calendar where brides can actually move forward and secure a date, by taking that action, they mentally have already started doing business with you. So it's a good thing for them to do. I don't think it's unprofessional, but I guess it makes sense. It's just something that hasn't appealed to me. What do you think? As you're listening, is anyone here using a booking calendar on the website? Is anyone doing that? And I know there's software especially for that, not just a basic calendar, but to book dates on there. And I think you could probably do that with Google Calendar too, if I'm not mistaken, that people can, you know, now that I'm thinking about it out loud, it might make sense, but it's just something that I've never thought of doing. Just curious. Athena's saying, I have a scheduler versus a calendar. Allow them to schedule when it's most convenient for them. Okay. And so Athena, you get good feedback from that? That works for you? Precious is saying she has an initial telephone scheduler, and she's using an app through Wedding Wire. Okay. And it links with Google Calendar. Okay, nice. Okay. Bianca's saying, I know if you have a paid account with Wedding Wire, they have a scheduler. So, yeah. And Nancy's saying Google Calendar links with your phone. Yes, it does. So, you know, maybe this is something that works. I've never considered doing it. That's not true. I've kind of looked at scheduling and thought about it, but never beyond a thought of even adding that on my calendar. Athena's saying they can book a time and choose whether phone call, or I've got something on my screen, or in person, and my availability is already pre-done. That makes perfect sense. That makes perfect sense. So maybe that is something that would work, Carrie. So by all accounts, it's certainly not unprofessional. And I think it's when I read about it, they were saying just the bride taking the action to book the service was a good thing. So it was sort of in, you know, subconsciously, or maybe consciously, she was ready to move forward. I like the idea of, I know a bride's going to call or email me, and I try to do a quick, this is how I do it. We talk on the phone, because there's only so much you can, email is so impersonal. I mean, it's effective, but it's impersonal. So it's good for us to talk on the phone, and I get a feel for who I'm listening to, and they get a feel for if they like the sound of my voice, as if they could not like the sound of my voice. But then you just try to get a feel for what they've done so far, and then schedule that appointment. But I mean, having a scheduler, I guess, would just eliminate some of that back and forth. Something to think about. So Carrie, the verdict is in that it's a good idea for those of us that are using that. Bianca's asking about what kind of scheduler is this. And Athena's saying if you build your website from Wix, they have an app for it. Yeah, Wix is a really great service for building your website. It's sort of drag and drop and so forth from what I've seen. And I'm saying from what I've seen because I haven't used it to create my website, but just whatever you're using to create your website, please for your business, you know, head in the direction of hosting it and having some control over that site. You don't want your site hosted by someone else along with your host, with your URL. You just want to be in control of that. You just want to make sure that if you need to move it someplace else, you can. And I'm not sure if you can do that with Wix, and maybe you can, but whatever service you go with, please, please just always be in control of your website. Okay. All right. Well, you know what? It's 8:25, and I said this was going to be a short show. So, Carrie, I hope that answers your question. I forgot to say that. And please let me know if we didn't drill down deep enough with that. But those are really great questions. Any questions in the chat room before we disappear for tonight? Did I miss anything? If you posted something and I missed it, just post it again. A Wheatley, what is your first name? She's saying the person is saying Weebly is a great site option too. Nancy's asking a great question, maybe a question for next week. What do you do if vendors don't live up to the contract at the wedding? Yes. That's a good question, Nancy. Nancy, if I would ask you, please, if you could just either go to confettiradio.com and use the ask form, or just leave a voicemail. That way it'll prompt me to bring it up next week. But that's an excellent question. We can tackle that in 8 weeks. Oh, Amaray, is that how you say your name? Okay. You're talking about Weebly, right? You can insert your own template. Okay, super. All right, wonderful. Okay, so guys, I have to get going. I hope you don't feel like I shortchanged you, but our next show, what I planned for our next show is that we were going to talk about kids at weddings. Some folks love having kids at weddings. I'm one of those people. I just love to see children at weddings, but there are just as many people who don't want that kind of atmosphere. So we're going to talk about some tips, what you can do to manage children at the wedding, how to make sure that your clients' guests know that kids are not welcome at the wedding, and maybe a happy medium for having kids maybe just a portion of the wedding. If you have any stories, good or bad, with regard to kids at weddings, please share them. I'd love to hear about it. You can go to facebook.com/confettiradio, or you can go to confettiradio.com/ask and just type your question or your comment in there. It would be really great to show that. And for an upcoming show, we don't have a date yet. We are going to be talking about, dare I use the word, bridezillas. So challenging brides is the PC way to say that. Brides that sort of make our heads hurt and make us wonder why we're doing this. So any stories about your experiences with difficult or challenging brides, please share them so that we can share with everyone else. Okay. Oh, Athena, I love that. Walk with your confidence. I love that. Okay. Have a wonderful evening, everyone. And as always, love and success. My name is Debbie Quain. Please be sure to join me for the next live show on Tuesday, February 5th at 8 p.m. Eastern. As always, love and success. Have a great evening.
A wedding planning business talk show. Confetti.